bless your holy name. We pray that you speak your word to each and every one of us. May none of us live the same. Ask the Lord to bless you through his word. Ask the Lord to bless you. Bless me, O God, through your word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord Jesus. Bless his name. Father God, speak to us. May none of us live the same, O God. We pray for a blessing. We pray for mercy. We pray for your grace, your tender mercies, and your loving kindness. Oh, which are new every morning. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, O God. Great are you, Lord. Great is your faithfulness. Great are your mercies toward us and your loving kindness toward us. Your tender, sweet, tender mercies. Speak to us, O God. May it just not be a service, but a service where you would minister to you, you would speak to us the engrafted word which is able to save us, not only our souls, but save our lives from not receiving the things that are rightfully ours. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the saints said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We may take our seats. Amen. You can clap for Jesus. Why not? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are things that God has rightfully given to the saint. Who are saints in this room? Raise your hands. Slip my hands high up. I'm a saint. Saints are not the dead ones. Saints are alive. And include dead people also, but saints are alive. Hallelujah. When you read Apostle Paul's epistles to the churches, some of them, it talks about, I'm writing this letter to the saints of God, or those who are, or those our brethren called to be saints, or our saints, or the saints in whatever church it is. God has been speaking to you and I about five engines for greatness. Five engines for greatness. Engines. Daniel was great, and you'll be great.
Amen.
Daniel was great, Joseph was great, David was great.
Amen.
And you'll be great.
Amen.
I see you being great. 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 Yes, I'm pointing at myself too. Hallelujah. Now, we started to talk about the five engines. The first engine is what? Concentration. We need to concentrate. How many have started to concentrate? Yes, we need to concentrate. Very important. Concentrate on where you want to go.
Amen.
But write it down. Write down what you want. Where do you want to go? Write it down. Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So when it's written down and you read it again, you take off. Oh, glory. Did you get that? You take off. You what? You take off. Do you understand?
That's right.
You take off. When you read it, you take off with it because you've read it and you've written it down. What you write down, you remember. What you write down, you take seriously.
Amen.
Amen. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So what is in your heart will come out of your mouth. What fills your heart? What is saturating your heart? Is it doubt? Then you will be a doubtful person. What is saturating your heart? Is it victory? Is it success? Is it failure? What are you focused on? You become what you focus on. How many are getting what I'm saying? There are some who are smart, very, very smart, but they have a very low self-image or they have a very low self-esteem, and they don't believe that anything can come out of their lives based on what teachers have told them. And you see a great person become nothing because of what is in their heart. What do you think? Matthew 12:34. Yes, Matthew. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now we talked about concentration. Every great human achievement is the result of concentration. Einstein devoted his life to his theory of relativity. If he had, he had a theory of relativity, then he had chemistry, then he had biology, then he had so many different things. We will never hear Einstein's name. But because he concentrated on one thing, which was his theory of relativity, and what the theory of relativity produces, space-time, time dilation, relativity, deep things. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is because he concentrated. Concentration makes us work faster. Just quickly recapping. When you concentrate on something, you work fast at it. The next one was what? The more suspensions and delays to projects or plans, the more discouraged you will be. What do you think? Concentration depends solely on the ability to distinguish between the relevant and the irrelevant. Even yesterday or the day before, I was talking to someone about relevant and irrelevant things you are doing. They are all important, but some are irrelevant based on... Yeah, you got it. Based on the list that you have, yes. Based on the list that you have. Inject urgency into all the things you are concentrating on. That's the next. Then we talked about the fact that the greatest thief of concentration are what? Television, telephone, and social media, and sometimes useless socialization. But the telephone, oh, it will eat your time. And sometimes talking about nothing. You might have plans that can really cause you to do well. But, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes, I'll do it the next day. I'll do it the next day. Why? You realize that you finish work or you finish school, but the 5 hours you had after work were wasted chatting, watching television. Meanwhile, you could have been succeeding very well in something. Am I saying something to somebody? Yeah, procrastination, yeah. Few people can juggle with many projects at the same time. So don't be someone who is trying to do so many things at the same time. Unfinished projects break concentration, and then concentration makes everything grow. We talked about that. Hallelujah. Then the second was invest in yourself. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, this is very important because Apostle Paul, or the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul, was telling Timothy and us to be careful with what we know and to concentrate, not only concentrate, but invest in becoming better at what you know. Do you understand? Because he's saying, take heed. Look at NLT. It's like you know something, be very careful to master what you know and to make full proof of what you know so that you excel at it. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. You see, stay true. Continue in it. Invest in it. I don't know that I'm speaking to somebody. So it's very important. And there are three reasons why we must all invest in ourselves to prosper. Do you want to know the three reasons? There are three reasons why everyone must invest in themselves. Number one, because of the law of deterioration. Proverbs 27, 23 to 24. Know the state of your flocks. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy heads. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? So it's very important to understand that this law says that everything is decaying naturally. Nothing on the earth stays in a healthy condition for long. Do you know that if you build a brand new house, or you buy a brand new car, and you leave it for a few years without touching it, you will not want to live in that house or sit in that car because of the law of decay. It will spoil. Hallelujah. Amen. Cells are dying every day in our bodies. And that is what is supposed to happen. Certain cells that are not good die. If they don't die, and the immune system is not able to cause them to die, it's a problem. Do you understand? Because cells are dying generally because of the law of decay. Why will we get old? It's because things are decaying. Am I preaching to somebody? In the same way, you and I must invest in ourselves, because if we don't invest in ourselves, you realize that, look, you would forget everything. If you don't invest in yourself, you forget what you know. Take heed what you know, otherwise you forget it. Do you understand? So the first reason is because you forget it. Because of the law of decay, you forget what you know. What do you think? And even what you have can be taken away. Let's assume you get to a certain level because you have studied. If you don't continue to study, what you have will not be relevant. There are many things that are no longer relevant to what we want to achieve. Does that make sense? I'm trying not to slip into the next one, but let's move to the next one. Invest in yourself because of the law of staying one step ahead. Now, this is it. I was trying not to slip into it. Now, this is very important. You and I, if we are not one step ahead, what will make us do well? What will make us prosper? What I'm trying to say is that everyone is on a certain path. How many get what I'm saying? Meaning that everyone is average. If everyone is average, then no one needs to reward you more because you are the same as everybody else. But if you have something that no one else has, or you have something else that very few people have, you'll be at an advantage. What do you think? Because most people have a certain range of information and knowledge and investment in themselves. Not everyone is willing to invest heavily in themselves any time. Look at Tiger Woods. He invested in himself. He played golf on a regular basis since he was young. He was practicing. You see, when you invest in yourself, it means you are practicing. You are practicing. You are practicing. What you know, you are trying to do better. You are trying to know more about what you know. Solomon, when God gave him wisdom,
he actually decided to seek and search through wisdom more information. Do you get me? But someone will say, oh, I know this thing, and this thing is working well for me. But the fact that it's working well for you today does not mean it will work well for you tomorrow. There are many people who were very, very good. They were very good with IT or technology. Very, very good, doing very well. But they did not develop themselves. They did not invest in themselves. They did not learn anything extra. And because of that, their information was irrelevant because things are changing all the time. I was speaking to a doctor. We're talking about certain things. And this doctor, you see, many doctors are narrow in what they know. In terms of, not that I know anything, but I'm just saying that many doctors are narrow in what they know. Many doctors are trained to just prescribe in America. That's one of the, they are trained to prescribe drugs. Also, many doctors are just fixed with medicine and the body and are not going into anti-aging, metabolic medicine, nutrition. Now, many of the diseases you and I know about can be prevented or managed better with metabolic medicine and what? Nutrition. So if a doctor just stays at where he is, what he learns in medical school, he's not going to do well. But I was talking to a doctor who said, you know what? I'm now entering into reading about metabolic medicine and anti-aging. So you will see how a doctor will invest in themselves and no more. And there was this same doctor, you will see that some things that other doctors cannot diagnose, he's able to diagnose. Yeah. Because you are investing in yourself and you know much more than the average.
Right.
Now, this is not just in medicine. Now, what are you looking for? You need to know more. When I started my business, I didn't want to be like the average person who has a business. I used the financial background I had, and I used a lot of information. I read a lot. Hallelujah. Because if you don't read a lot, you would not get an advantage. Everybody has basic information about everything they are doing. Whatever you and I want to do, the information we have, most people have it. But if you and I have the same information, what is going to make us go past that person? That is by us. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that is why you and I need to invest in ourselves, get to know more. Solomon, the Bible says he sought to know more. What do you think?
Yes,
so it's very, very important. You and I need to read more. You and I need to whatever work you are doing. It doesn't matter what you are doing. Even in school, at work, you can read more. You can learn more. There is more to know. What will cause someone to make you great, or what will cause you to be great unless you have something other people don't have? Or you provide a service that other people cannot provide? There's a school teacher, I believe, who was always getting sick because she's with kids. Always getting sick, always getting sick. And she would take vitamin C, take different medication. And she said to herself, you know what, why don't I do some mixtures myself? So she mixed up vitamins, vitamin C, zinc, and certain echinacea, and certain herbs. And it started working for her. She put it on the market, and she's a billionaire, I'm sure now, airborne. You know airborne? Yeah, it's from a school teacher. So what happened? She provided something that no one else could provide. There are many out there, but when you have something unique, it separates you. You and I need to invest in ourselves to be separate from everybody else. Even as pastors, we have to be different.
Right.
If you are just the same, you preach, everybody preaches. You have church, everybody has church. You'll be the same. There's nothing different.
That's right.
So that's what we must all try to do. I'm not even saying that's what I'm trying to do, and I'm sure you are trying to do. We must try to do something different, know something different, specialize in something different, so that we would be at an advantage. Is it at work? You need to be someone who is known as the subject matter expert. Amen. So that anytime someone has a problem, oh, this problem, who can solve it? Oh, I know this person who can solve it. He's good with this. Subject matter expert. It separates you. It separates you. Am I preaching to somebody? You and I need to be different from everybody else. You and I need more information than everybody else. Otherwise, what makes you, why should you be great and the other not great? What do you think? Most of the world's wealth is amongst a few people. Do you know that? Very few people carry the world's wealth. So if you are not ahead of the game in a particular thing, then you will be like everyone else. And if you are like everyone else, why should you be hired at a premium? Why should you earn more? Why should people seek your services when you are like everybody else? You go to filling station. There are filling stations everywhere. The price is not lower. The place is not beautiful. There's nothing distinct about your filling station. Then anyone who sees your filling station, convenience. People, when I go to filling stations, unless I have a loyalty card, I'll just go to anyone I see. But when I was in Minnesota, I had a loyalty card for Super America. I would sometimes drive an extra 5 minutes to go and find it.
That's right.
So you will see that they had something different from the others. So I'll drive an extra mile or so just to buy gas from them. Because I was able to get a $100 gift. I've gotten $100 gift card twice from this place. Yeah. And I'm due for, I think, $50. When I go back, I'll get the card and buy. Yeah. So you can clearly see that they had something different from the others. What do you think? I used to fly Delta all the time. There are many airlines. Why was I flying Delta? I was flying Delta because I had their Sky Miles. And I was able to get, they had this buy one, get one free miles. And it was cheap at that time. Now you lose your money if you do that. It was cheap at that time. So what I did was, I bought 50,000 Sky Miles, which was equivalent to a coach. I was traveling to Ghana in West Africa. I was traveling there for a church program. And let's assume the ticket cost $1,000, just an example. For a coach basic ticket, I would have paid. This one was about 1,000, maybe slightly under $1,000. I bought 50,000 miles, say, for example, for that $1,000, and I got 50,000 free. What did I do? I could have decided to fly first class to Ghana or have two tickets. I flew first class for coach. So that's why I like Delta. And as I kept using them, I upgraded. They upgraded me. One time I was coming from Ghana and they said, oh, yeah, in first class, upgraded. Because I was traveling a lot in those days, always traveling. Hallelujah. So Delta was important to me because they had something that could benefit me. What do you and I have that is important to somebody else? If you are able to discover something and master it, that's it. The Bible says that Belshazzar was looking for someone who could interpret the writing on the wall. And they couldn't find anyone in the province. And then he was told by the lady that, look, your grandfather had someone who was able to interpret dreams and interpret things. He's surely going to be able to interpret this. Bring him to me. When he came, Belshazzar said, I'll give you gold, I'll give you so much if you interpret the dream. Daniel said, no, I'm not going to buy you. You can't sell God's gift. I will not take anything from you, but I will interpret it. Now, this says that your days are numbered and you've been found wanting. Now the Medes and the Persians are coming for you. And Belshazzar made him second in command. Why? Because he had something that others didn't have. Joseph was able to interpret dreams. Pharaoh said, interpret. I need someone to interpret the dream. I need someone. All the people, all his medicine people, all the people said, look, we don't know, we don't understand this dream. We cannot interpret it. These seven fat cows, seven lean cows, and then the seven lean cows will eat the seven fat cows. I don't understand it. So then the butler remembered that there was a man in the prison who could interpret dreams. So he told Pharaoh that this man was able to interpret dreams, and it happened. So he will be able to interpret your dream. Pharaoh said, call him for me. Joseph went there and was able to interpret the dream, that there'll be 7 years of success and plenty. And then right after that, there'll be 7 years of famine. And it's going to destroy the earth. But if Pharaoh can find a wise person who can store up grains and organize things so that you would save during the time of plenty and not waste, so that when the time of famine comes, you'll be able to sell and give. By doing that, you'll be able to actually own all the property, because people will have to sell their land just to eat. Then Joseph said, look, if you're able to find someone this wise, choose that person. Now Pharaoh asked himself, who is wise amongst the people? It's someone who has what the others don't have. And said, Joseph, you are that one.
That's right.
Now I'm going to make you the greatest man in Egypt or in the world. I'm only going to be greater than you when I'm on the throne. Wow. Now you check that out. It's because he had something that others didn't have. So you and I need to pray, oh God, give me what others don't have. Give me something that people don't have. Make me a specialist at what I do. Amen. Because you and I are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus after good works.
Amen.
We and I are God's masterpiece. So it means that God has greatness in us. A masterpiece is an exquisite work of art.
Amen.
A masterpiece is something very exquisite, something very, very good. Hallelujah. So it is very important that you and I remember that. Invest in yourself. Now, if you are in school, invest. Read. There's so much to read. Read about your subject. And don't just read to pass exams. Very important. We can read to just pass exams. Don't read to pass exams only. Or pass the exam and then read again. Sometimes I read my kids' books, school books. Abby is in school. Sometimes I say, give me your book. Your book, I want to read it, your psychology book. I want to know the thinking of people, how people. I learned about evolution, and I took my son's book on evolution and viruses, bacteria, and I read it. From school, because I want to know more.
That's it.
I learned about natural selection, genetic mutation, which are the two foundations of that rubbish theory.
Right.
And then I went into studying the Big Bang and cosmopolitan constant and astronomy. I want to know. Of course, that might not necessarily get me in it somewhere, but what can get you somewhere? Learn it. I bought a Mayo Clinic medical book. Big book. I bought it and I read it. started reading. This Netscape, those very technical, very wild medical Netscape. No, is it Netscape? Is that what it's called? Medscape or whatever. There's one of these websites, very, very technical. Because I want to know more about those things. What do you want to know more about? I want to know more about what I'm working on. So I'm trying to develop myself more in certain things that are not necessary where I work. But you can use it as an advantage. They don't use it. But if you know it, you have a higher advantage because you can do the work more. You see people who have creative ideas, who become stars at work because they know what others don't have. No. There's a certain place that I used to work, well, there's a certain company, and there's a guy who knows what nobody knows there because of certain programs he has. And none of the managers know. Because of that, he doesn't, I won't go that far, but because of that, you get an email. John is not coming to work today. The next day, normally you just have to just text and say, oh, you know what, I'll not be in tomorrow. I have a few things to do. That's all we can do. Tomorrow, God willing, I don't want to go to work and I want to work from home. I'm working from home tomorrow, or I need to take a day off next week, Friday. Tomorrow, I have something important to do. But it's different from that day we get an email. I'm not coming to work. You can't do anything because if you do it, the programs, the statistics that we need, you will not get it. You will not get it. It will mess things up. Yeah. So I also wanted to learn that program too, because not so that I'm on do those things, because that one is not good. You see, whatever you do, if you're not faithful in that which is another person's, it will come back to haunt you.
That's right.
So it means that when I own my business, I will not want employees to treat me that way.
That's right.
Because I own the tracking company. And the trackers, you see, you need a CDL license. You need a commercial driver's license. And I can't drive that because I don't have a commercial driver's license. But I hired a driver. If the driver is angry and says that, look, you know what, he can just, many of them just, let's assume they're in Washington State. They can leave the tractor there and just go. Then you have to pay someone to go and pick it up. So anytime they're on the road, I'm nice. When they get home, everything changes. Then I start sorting things out with them and dealing with them in different ways because, you understand, but they had something I didn't have.
That's right.
Yeah. And they could do anything they wanted. I couldn't do, well, up to a point. So in the same way, I don't want someone to do that to me.
That's
right. So I'll not do it to someone else. So that is also another rule of engagement. When we are going to be great.
Man.
At work, whatever you don't want your employee to do, don't do it to your boss. Don't waste things at work. If you waste things at work and you own your business, do you not think that someone will also waste your things? If you just waste the printing paper, you just waste things. When it's your turn and you have those things, people will waste it. If you don't look after, maybe you are driving a company car and you are just, it's not my car, you are revving it and just, when your time comes, what will happen to yours? Because you are tempted to just, you know, drive it anyhow. But it can hit you. So the main thing is to know what others at work don't know. Wasn't it Best Buy that the CEO started from scratch? So at least the former. So it means that it doesn't matter where you work. If God wants you to be great, you'll be great. So look for something and pray, oh, Father God, give me that excellent spirit to give Daniel. Amen. Because Daniel just had an excellent spirit from God, and because of that, anytime there was a need, he was there to meet the need. Amen. But you need to invest in yourself.
Amen.
Am I preaching to somebody? All companies ahead of the game in technology, drugs, pharmaceuticals, etc. prosper. That's why they have patents, so that you can prosper in what you've invented up to a point, and then you have to invent something else because the patents end at a certain point, and other people will start using it. What do you think? Not everyone is prepared to pay the price to be one step ahead. That's why not everyone will be great. This is our year of greatness, but not everyone is prepared to pay the price. Is it in prayer? How many people are prepared to pay the price in prayer? How many people are prepared to pay the price burning the midnight oil reading? How many people are prepared to pay the price? Not everyone is prepared to pay the price to be one step ahead, or two steps ahead, or three steps ahead. But I pray that you will be one step ahead, you'll be two steps ahead, you'll be three steps ahead, you'll be four steps ahead. I remember one of the places I worked. There is a guy who started maybe 3 years, 4 years after I started. This guy would stay at work till maybe 3-4 hours after I've left and the people have left. This guy will be studying, reading. The speed at which he progressed in the company, you have no idea. The speed at which he became a senior manager. It's not a joke, because he was prepared to pay the price. No, but I don't understand. My color, your color has nothing to do with it when you are prepared to pay the price. It might mean that you might have to pay the price a bit more, but at the end of the day, whether more or not more, the price must be. I was approved for an investment property. Very, very expensive. It was a duplex, no, a quadruplex or whatever it is, meaning a duplex, two separate. So four tenants, self-contained apartments. Everything was signed, or ready to be signed. I was going to do it and then generate the income, all that stuff. Like I said, I've done the research. There are times that you do all the research. Okay, then the loan officer messed up. I had gone there, seen the tenants, and we had discussed everything. It was left to sign the thing. And then the loan officer made some mistakes, messed the whole thing up. The thing didn't go through. And then later on, I found that it was a condemned property. So God, I did all my homework, but sometimes your homework will not count. When God comes in, he prevents you from making a foolish mistake.
That's right.
Wow. I have made some foolish mistakes. You see, I've made some mistakes where I've signed things before praying. People have convinced me. It's like, hey, you know what? If you do it now, you get double. And I signed. But now, I tell them that, look, I will not do anything until I prayed. When I lost that over $1,000. So from now on, if they tell me that, look, you know what, if you do it today, I tell them that, look, I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to think about it. And then I'll, after praying about it, I'll decide it. No, you lose it. Well, if I'll lose it, let me lose it. I have no problem. I have to pray about it first. What? $1,000. Yeah. So that's where the God factor comes in. You do all your investment, invest in yourself. But when the God factor doesn't come in, you sign the papers. There was this guy who was living, okay, he and a lot of colleagues from the United Kingdom joined an agency here and were working in IT and were being sustained by the job for their documentation to live in the country. Is that? Yeah. Then this guy got an offer for a job paying just about double his salary and some of his colleagues in that agency. He signed the papers and his colleagues. And as he was praying, a few days, maybe a couple of weeks before moving, he didn't feel right. No, something is just not right. So he turned the job down. His friend said, "Are you crazy? Double the salary. Are you crazy?" He turned it down and stayed with the agency. Do you know that it wasn't a month after? I'm sure you can imagine the company went bankrupt. So those his friends had to go back to the United Kingdom because they didn't have a job. But thank God he got a job. He kept his job and stayed. That's where God comes in. They got 1 month double salary. So sometimes we need to hear what God is saying.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
What do you think? The next reason is because of the law of taking care of yourself before you can take care of others. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to make a very important statement. Your greatness lies in helping and taking care of others. If you can't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of others. When you are in a plane and you are traveling, especially international, you are traveling, what are the statements they make about the oxygen mask? Put yours on first. Then you can breathe enough to help your child. Oh, my child, my child, my child. You can both die. But no. Take care of yourself. Your child is okay. After taking care of yourself, then you can take care of your child. What do you think? So that law is very important. 1 Timothy 4:16. In the next week, we'll talk about some ways to invest in ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So you save yourself and your hearers. So it's very important to first take care of yourself. You must know yourself. You must be confident in yourself before you can help other people.
Hallelujah.
If you are not confident, you see, anytime I'm presenting and I'm not, I try to ask myself every kind of question that I'll be asked. If I'm not able to answer them all, I'm not confident. I'm not strong in my presentation. Even when I'm going, I'm nervous. But when I know all the answers and I'm speaking, I speak with confidence because I know it.
That's right.
Yeah? Because I know it. So it's important to first know so that you'll be confident to help. Mm. So the first is concentration. Concentrate. Choose what you want to concentrate on. The second is invest in yourself. All of us know what we can invest in. But as we are investing, do not neglect the praying, because the praying is what seals everything and makes everything established. And like Bishop says, there is always a solution to every problem.
That's right.
It doesn't matter the problem. There is a solution. Like an engineer said, there is always an engineering solution to every engineering problem. Always. There's a solution to every engineering problem. In the same way, there's a solution to every problem.
Amen.
You can be in a tight situation. You can be in a life and death situation. There's a solution. Because of our God. Because of God, there's always a solution. God is able to bring solutions out of the air. He's able to call things that are dead alive. He's able to make the dead bones come alive. He's able to call things which are not as though they were, and they come to pass. He's the God of a second chance, the God of a third chance, the God of a tenth chance, the God of all things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We will continue next week, God willing. Shall we stand to our feet?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Let's speak to the Lord, ask the Lord to show us more grace. Oh, yes. Lord Jesus, I pray, speak to me. Touch my heart. Draw me near to thee, O God. Let's sing a song before we close. Speak to me, Jesus. Ask the Lord to just speak to you. Show you something. Reveal something to you. Reveal something special, a solution.
Father God, we bless and worship you. Thank you for your word. Make us great, oh God. Make us great. We know that you have given us the ability to obtain wealth. Father God, we pray that you grant us favor. Your word says in Ephesians 1:3 that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. May we live in the reality of these blessings. May we walk in these blessings. May we realize these blessings. In the name of Jesus, may we know revelationary, may we know by revelation and by practical knowledge and by practice that these things are rightfully ours. May we know the things that are rightfully ours and surely ours. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Welcome, Pastor Elam.